We're turning to Psalm 91 this morning. The 91st Psalm. The great C.H. Spurgeon comments on this psalm with these words. He said, of all the psalms in this great catalogue of psalms, he said the 91st psalm is the most comforting, the most edifying, and the most strengthening of all the psalms. And then he penned in large letters, A Wonderful Psalm. Simon du Maurier, who is probably the greatest expositor of the Psalms, he just pens A Wonderful Psalm. So from a great preacher and a great expositor, this psalm hath been labeled a wonderful psalm. What I want to do with you this morning is just read the psalm through with you and point out some of the wonders of this wonderful psalm. How we conduct our morning meeting is, I take a portion, and as I read the portion, I expound it. Then when I have expounded the portion, I will lift a phrase out of it. That will be the Lord's message for us today. Now we're at the 91st Psalm, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I want you to note that we're being directed to look upon a particular person. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. A particular person. Not he that longeth for this, or he that cometh now and again to the secret place. Mark the word, he that dwelleth in the sacred place. A particular kind of person. And of course you've got a particular promise. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. But I'm not looking so much at the particular person and the particular promise. I'm looking at the particular place. Under the shadow of the Almighty. My, this is a wonderful place. A place where we can dwell continually. Under the shadow of the Almighty. So right in the first verse, we find one of the wonders of this wonderful psalm. A wonderful place. You will notice in the second verse that the psalm changes. You see, in all the verses right through to the very end, God is using the psalmist to bring forth truths. But in the second verse, it seems that the psalmist takes it over and gives his testimony. And only in the second verse. He just takes the psalm over. He says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. And I think that's a wonderful profession, isn't it? When a man can stand up and say, the Lord is my refuge, my fortress. Yes, when he realizes that God is round about him. I made a study once of all the positions the Lord Jesus Christ takes with his people, and I found this. I found that he's underneath his people. No other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Yes, he's underneath his people. And then when I look up to the highest place that heaven affords, bless God, he's there. He's above his people. And then one of the Psalms saith, like as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so is the Lord round about his people. So that he's underneath, he's up above, he's round about. We're in Christ this morning. The Lord is my refuge, my fortress, my God. All you have to shout is, in him will I trust. That's a great profession to make, isn't it? That you're in Christ and you're trusting in him. So that we have a wonderful place and then we have a wonderful profession. Now the psalm swings back again to where it began. It's God speaking through the psalmist. Surely he will deliver thee. And the psalmist is just saying, surely God shall deliver the man that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. He's back to this man again. Surely God shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. And in all those verses, we have a wonderful protection. Want you to get that? You know, there is a wonderful place. It's the secret place. And when you profess that you're in it, then all that we've read just now belongs to you if you're dwelling there. He that dwelleth, my God will overshadow him. God will shelter him round. The plague shall not come nigh thee. This is wonderful protection. You know, when the plague came to London in the days of Spurgeon, he packed the carriage and he was going to a house in the country, and he had almost the last of the baggage out, and standing at the door he watched the old servant pass by. And as the old black servant put it up onto the top of the carriage, he looked at the fellow sitting with the horses. He said, the old man has left the 91st Psalm now, all right. And Spurgeon stopped. He said, you know, you're right. Just take the bags off. I'll stay where I am. And the plague did not come nigh him. Friends, is this God's word? Are these phrases the very truth of the living God? Have we really this protection? Of course we have. Very definitely we have. So there is a wonderful place, and there is a wonderful profession, and there is a wonderful protection. Now watch this little bit. Verse 11, for he that is God shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And these are wonderful protectors. You know, this is one of the psalms that the devil knew. When the devil came to tempt our Lord Jesus, he went to the 91st Psalm and he quoted this very portion, but left a little bit out, of course. because he cannot cope the truth. And he left in all thy ways out. And he said, you know, if you jump down from the temple, God will give his angels charge concerning thee. They'll not let you fall. It will be a wonderful display before the people, and they'll crown you Lord of all. But the jumping from the tip of the temple wasn't in God's way for Christ. But the devil left that little bit out, you know. But you know, he knew. He knew just the same that the saints have real protectors. Well, there are angels in this meeting this morning. Not on the seats. Not one of us. But there are angels here. And mind you, angels really protect the saints. I'm sure we'll never understand the whole wonder of it until we get home to glory and realize just how God has looked after us as he charged the angels. The word charge is a tremendous one. He shall give his angels charge concerning me. You know, charge is more than command. When the Philippian jailer was charged to keep the prisoners, he, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison. He was going to really obey. And when the angels are charged, may they really look after you. I believe I can look back to times in life when the angels did their work well. About 2 years ago, I was preaching at Tobermore Thanksgiving Week. And I had been kept back that day, and I was on my way there, coming down the great straight there at Lurgan. I'm coming along, and well, as fast as the car will go, it has to do that sometimes, somewhere about 70 miles an hour, when a fella comes straight out of a side road and straight across me. As soon as he saw this car flying towards him, I could see him put his hands against the glass and give the wheel a turn to go through the hedge, hit the bank. And there's an electric pole now in front of me, but there's no time to escape that. I just cut it in two. Car goes right over, takes two or three turns, and silently away down in the field. I just put my hand up and turned the keys off. And I said, thank you, Lord. The angels were really at their work. Never left the seat. Never touched the glass. Hadn't even a black mark on me. I was wrecked. Climbed out of the wreckage. Yes, I should be killed by all rules and regulations. But the angels are really there, you know. They're really there. Well, I don't think we understand it, sure we don't. We get amazed about it. But the angels really look after you. Well, we'll come to the problems in a minute. Yes, there are protectors. Now look at this little verse. Verse 13. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. That's wonderful power, isn't it? You see, I hope you're getting this, Sam. We're only expounding it now. There is a wonderful place. And if you really dwell in the sacred place of the Most High, then you can have a wonderful profession and wonderful protection and wonderful protectors and wonderful power. Oh yes, this book's right, isn't it? You put your foot on the lion and the adder. There's power. Not if you're living in the world, of course, but if you're dwelling in the sacred place of the Most High. Wonderful place, wonderful profession, wonderful protection, wonderful protectors, wonderful power. Here it is in the Psalm. But look again, it says in verse 14, because he, that is the man who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. This is a wonderful proclamation. This is God stepping into the arena. And he says, because he has set his love upon me. Well, I'll look after him. This is a wonderful proclamation. And then it goes further. It says in verse 15, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. Is this true? That's a wonderful promise, isn't it? It's one of the sweetest ones in the book. Don't take it that you're not living in the secret place. Not for you. But he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, he can make this profession. Say, God's my refuge. And he hath got this protection. And he hath these protectors. And this proclamation's over his head. And this promise is to his soul. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. It's either God's word or it's not. God's word, I tell you. I tell you, this place is well worth looking for, isn't it? Well worth looking for. I tell you, it's the heavenlies. But we'll get there in a moment. You know, sometimes some of our younger people get around me and they say, tell me where God answers prayer. I know the place where God answers prayer, you know. It's the secret place. It's the man or woman or boy or girl who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. God hath promised him, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. And there are no arguments. If you want to find the place where God answers prayer, we're right at it today. This is the place. So you can see the wonderful things in the psalm. Wonderful place, wonderful profession, wonderful protection, wonderful protectors, wonderful power, a wonderful proclamation, and now a wonderful promise. Now here's a little phrase in the midst of verse 15. I will be with him in trouble. Well, you would have thought for a moment or two as we went down the psalm, he'd never get into trouble, wouldn't you? So that's a wonderful phrase, isn't it? It almost spoils the psalm. I preached one morning on this psalm at our own place, and I only took this phrase. I would be with him in trouble. The very dear chappie who had gone through Dunkirk and had gone back again on D-Day had been all through the war and never had been scratched, as we say. He said he read this psalm every day of the war. Was his psalm. And when he went home that morning, he said, dear, the pastor preached on my psalm this morning. He was all filled. Oh, she said, what did he say? He said he just took one phrase out of it. I will be with him in trouble. I said, that's not in your psalm. I said, dear, it is. She said, it's not. Your psalm's the great psalm, where everything is being laid on for you. Ah, but he said, dear, it's in it. Now, she had read the psalm ever so many times, but she didn't see the phrase. Ah, but it's there, all right. I will be with him in trouble. It's a wonderful phrase. We'll look at it in a moment. And then look at this. Verse 15 at the end. I will deliver him and honor him. That's a wonderful pledge, isn't it? Fancying God bending over the balustrade of heaven and saying, I will deliver him. I will honor him. It's a pledge. And then it does say this, the last verse, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Wonderful preservation. So we've just looked at the psalm. I haven't started preaching yet. I hope you didn't think I was started, because I'm not started at all. We just looked down the psalm. And you can see it standing out before you now, can't you? There's a wonderful place here. And there is a wonderful profession to make. And you're really in it, dwelling in the secret place. And if you can make the wonderful profession, then you've got wonderful protection. And there are wonderful protectors looking after you. The angels are charged to take care of you. You will have wonderful power. You can tread upon the lion and the adder, and we could go into those phrases. Wonderful proclamation will be over you. A wonderful promise comes to you. You can call and I'll answer. There's this wonderful pledge. I will deliver him and honor him. And there's this wonderful preservation. With long life will I satisfy him. Now, sometimes this old ticker that I have in here doesn't go too well. Gives me trouble. Doctor comes in to see me every morning. I've got a special physician of my own. Well, the Queen has one. Why shouldn't I have one? The trouble is, the doctor that comes in to see me is not the doctor that I'm registered with at all. I don't know how this works out in the health business. But this fellow comes in to see me, looks after me. He has taken this upon himself to look after me. And I have been preaching now for about 5 or 6 weeks, or just one meeting after the other. And he came in the other morning. He came to meet me coming from the boat at Liverpool, and was there at 7 o'clock in the morning, took me in the car, went home, took my blood pressure and all the rest of it. And he said, "Now look, if you're going to go on like this, we're going to bury you one of these days." I said, "Now you cheer up a wee bit. I'll be at your funeral and I'll preach well for you, sir." Friends, here's a phrase here. It's not a funny one, it's a good one. With long life will I satisfy him. I think God means it. You wouldn't like to challenge God, sure you wouldn't. If God bends over and looks down at you and says, "With long life will I satisfy him," I tell you, it's really challenging, isn't it? Now, there is no doubt about it that there are exceptions to the rule when God makes them. Of course, Stephen was one. I believe that he was a young man. And I believe he was the greatest expositor of the gospel in the early church. And yet God allowed this young man to go into eternity, that Saul of Tarsus might be brought to know the same. And there are exceptions. But the rule is, that if you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, with long life, God will satisfy. That's the rule. I want to lift a phrase up now. I want to take that one that looks so out of place in such a psalm. "I will be with him in trouble." You know, friends, some of us get the idea that if we really trust the Lord, and we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and our whole life is spent in the presence of God and under the shadow of His wings, and we're trusting and obeying every day of our lives, some of us have got the idea that we'll never be in trouble. Well, it's a silly idea. You see, I think the example is Job. You remember how the devil came in with the angels and stood before God. God said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in all the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and keeps away from evil." What a testimony God gave Job. I wondered if God would give us this testimony. Mind you, when you're challenging the devil, you must have your facts right. He said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in all the earth, a perfect
and an upright man, one that fears God and keeps away from evil. You know, God was challenging the devil. The devil said, well, I know all about it. But you know, if this fellow had a little bit of trouble, I don't think he would praise you the way he's doing just now. Supposing he lost some of the sheep, or a part of the farm, or the business went upside down, do you think he would praise you? And God knew that Job would still praise him, and God was out to vindicate Job. And God said, all right, I'll just let you have him for a day or two. Go ahead, do what you like. And you know that in one day, 7,000 sheep were slain. Not a farmer in the north of Ireland owns anywhere near 7,000 sheep. So many asses, so many camels, and 7 sons and 3 daughters in one day. Well, none of us would love to or face losing our children in one day, would we? Yet here he is, 7 sons and 3 daughters. And at the end of the day he bows in the darkness and cries, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The devil was defeated. And the devil comes back and said, oh, it's all right. He's just lost the farm and the children. Let's touch him till we see what he is. All right, says God, I'll take you up on it. And the servant of God, the man that was dwelling in the secret place, he's going through trouble. Get the hold of him. Came from the devil, you know. Yes, you'll be in trouble. The devil will see you will be in trouble. But you know, the whole text is this. I will be with him in trouble. For I would rather be in the trouble with God than be out of it without him. I will be with him in trouble. I think we're all perfectly sure that the great Apostle Paul lived in the secret place. I'm sure he lived in the secret place. Why, we just need to trace the steps of Paul right through those missionary journeys and see the thousands of miles he covered on foot and the cities he went into and the multitudes that were swept into the kingdom. He was living in the secret place of the Most High, but he was never out of trouble. The enemies of the cross will see that you get into trouble. Modernists don't like the old-fashioned, unadulterated message of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Of course they don't. You'll be in trouble. In this day and hour, we have the enemies of the cross. Who talks about the enemies of the cross, you know? You stand by the cross. Stand up for Jesus. Stand true to the precious blood. You'll find out that you'll have enemies. You'll be in trouble. Of course you'll be in trouble. You remember John on the Isle of Patmos? My, he's there a prisoner now. Yes, he was a man of God. Look at his teachings. See the love that seemed to flow from his very heart. To saint and sinner. And yet he's in trouble. Now don't let's misunderstand this. We'll be in trouble. You remember how Joseph, you know, one of the things in this book is that the life story of Joseph, it covers so many chapters of the book of Genesis, while the creation only is touched in the first two. And yet in all those chapters of the history of the life of Joseph, you can't find one thing laid against him. Not righteousness. There are no murmurs. There are no sins. There are no blemishes. Not on record. And yet, you know, he was hated by his brethren. Oh, you'll always get the bitterness of brethren if you live for God. Oh, sure. And you know, you'll get the slander of the world too. Well, the woman slandered him, didn't she? Oh, she did. You don't only get the bitterness of brethren and the wickedness of the world. But you know, this is the sorest point. You meet with the forgetfulness of friends. When he was down in the prison, you know, he helped these two fellows. And then one of them got up. He forgot all about Joseph. But you know, you'll face this in this world. You'll face the bitterness of brethren. And you'll face the wickedness of the world. And you'll face the forgetfulness of friends. You'll be in trouble. But look, friends, let's balance it up. Let's see this place that God wants us to dwell in. Let's see it this morning as we've never seen it before. Let's see the protection and the protectors and the powers and the promises and the pledges and the preservation that comes with it. Even if we do get the trouble. Let's this morning go through the psalm carefully and find the steps into the place. And the first one is, I will trust in Him. You step in by faith. And then, because He hath set His love upon me. You know, if you're in the secret place, you're there because you have faith only in God. Well, we need to get back to that faith in God. Not faith in a denomination. Not faith even in your own ability. Not faith even in your own gifts. Not faith in this, that, or the other. Faith only, absolutely in God. As we get there, we'll never be in the secret place. Then you know, you need to love the Lord. But everything else on earth, that goes for wife, and children, and home, and friends, the Lord above everything. We'll never stay in the secret place if we don't. But look, there is not only that step of trust and love. Oh, but it's because of our obedience to His desires that we stay there. Now, sometimes the young people come to me and they say, Pastor, show us in this book the way to live for God. What is the higher life? What is the victorious life? What is the holy life? What is the sanctified life? I'll tell you. It's trust and obey. That's what it is. And it'll never be any other either. Some people talk about holiness when they tear the book up. Speak to them about believer's baptism and you'll find out. Believer's baptism, I don't make any apology for talking about it. You know, I believe every word of it. One of the doctrines of this book, it's one of the teachings of our Lord. What's the use of talking about being in the secret place when you're fighting with His very words? Brethren and sisters, if we really want to get in, and after reading Psalm 91, we should all want to get in, you can step in by faith and set your affection on Him above everything else on earth and promptly obey His every word. Be in the secret place. And you'll be protected, I can tell you that. And you'll have protectors nearby every moment. And there will be precious promises that belong to you. And God will pledge to look after you. With long life will He preserve you. As you look down this, what a wonderful Savior we have. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord, and He's revealed in this wonderful psalm. God bless you.